God bless you, Peter. Thank you.
All right, so we'll be in the book of Ecclesiastes if you want to turn there with us. Chapter number 10. Appreciate Brother Roger. We always talk about the older preachers in a good light, of course, and Brother Roger is one of our favorite ones to talk about, and in a good way. And we look up to Brother Roger. He's not liked by some folks in this community that speaks well of his stand over the years. He's ruffled some feathers. I like that. But he's done a great work and helped a lot of folks, and we appreciate him. Been a help to us. So normally me and Brother Chick go aside, and he tells me a good joke. I haven't heard that yet, but I'm going to share this, and I don't see it. Is he okay? Is he all right? I guess he's out of here. Well, I'll tell you guys, as try to get my nerves settled a little bit, but there was an Amish family years ago that had lived their whole life in their community, never went to town. And things got hard and the crops didn't come in good. And the husband went to the wife and said, "It's got to be. We've got to go into town. We've got to go get some things and some items we have need of." And so he agreed with his wife and he said, "I'll take the oldest boy." And they got in their wagon and they headed towards town, and they come up to the first store and said, "Look, we need to find a place to buy goods and certain goods." And the man said, "Well, you need to go to the mall. The mall's in the middle of the town. You go this direction, it has everything you want, and you can get food there, you can get this there." And so he headed out towards the mall. When they got to the mall, to his surprise, and they got up in the parking lot, he looked and he saw a strange thing. There was a revolving door. And him and his son just stared at the revolving door, and all of a sudden, this very homely woman, that's an ugly woman, by the way, she went into the revolving door, and then all of a sudden, on the other side, came a beautiful young lady out. The son, to his amazement, looked at his father and said, "Dad, Dad, did you see that? Did you see that?" He said, "Hush, boy, and go get your mama." I didn't get to tell Brother Chick that, but all right. One verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 18. He said, "By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through." We'll pray. Father, as we bow before you, we are grateful for the message we've already heard. What a privilege to hear the man of God and the great job he did. And Lord, help us as we again, Lord, try to be a help and not a hindrance. We love you and thank you for all you do for us. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. I thought about several things this week, but the thought of spiritual decay has been on my heart and mind. And so we're going to go in that direction. And I know you understand that the child of God must guard against many things along this journey as we try to live for the Lord. I thought there are many detours that we have to be careful of along the journey. A lot of times we see people stray off the path, get on some detour, and get their lives in a mess. I say this with a burden in my heart and for you to pray. I have family members who have walked away from good Bible-believing churches, and they're in, you know, more contemporary churches. And, you know, they were in good sound independent Baptist churches, and it concerns me. We have to be careful of those things, careful of detours and deception. Careful of doubt and discouragement that might take us away from the Lord and our walk with God. And so our message this evening is spiritual decay. Spiritual decay. By definition, decay means to go from a place of soundness and strength and stability to a place of decline and instability, and a place of weakness. It is a digression, not a progression. But the Christian life is to be lived in progression. Matter of fact, the Bible says we need to abound. We need to increase more and more. I don't know about you, but I need more. I need to go more. I need to grow more. So one preacher said, "I need to glow more." Amen? as we go along the journey. And so we have to be careful because we can get off track and our spiritual lives begin to decay. And I thought, you know, we've got to commit ourselves and devote ourselves and labor in the work of God. Stay faithful and keep our spiritual house in order. Know here in Ecclesiastes, the context in chapter 10 and verse number 18. Again, Solomon writes about the same thing as concerning slothfulness in the book of Proverbs, and how that he went by a house and he saw everything growed up, saw the house falling down, decaying. Here we see that in chapter number 10 and verse number 18. He said, "By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through." And I thought, you know what? You look at this house right here, you can see a lot of people over the years who we could have said, you know what? I remember a time when they used to be on fire for God. I remember a time when they were living for the Lord. I remember a time that they wouldn't do things that are doing today. And that's a sad situation, but a true situation. There are many casualties along this journey as we try to live for the Lord. And many preachers over the years that we've looked to and prayed for, and to look back today on their lives, they've changed some things. They've got away from some things. They've moved in some places in their walk with God. I'm going to tell you what, if this book was a right yesterday, it's still right today. Amen. It's still truth today, and we look at that and understand how that men can decay and get away. And so we see a sad scene here when the house is grown up and it's falling through. I thought about this. There's a place in Sylacauga that's just a pile of rubble now, but used to be the main industry in that city where I grew up. And that was Avondale Mills. And my grandmother and my grandfather both worked at Avondale Mills. And they used to tell us the story how that it was a self-contained city within a city. The mill offered them a grocery store. It offered them a hospital. Matter of fact, they built the mill village behind Avondale Mills. All these different homes for the families that worked. I never knew my grandfather and grandmother to have a car. They could walk to work. They could walk to the grocery store. They could walk to the hospital contained within that mill. And those were beautiful homes behind that mill there. And she talked about they'd give a 15-minute warning for every shift change. They would sound a horn. It was a self-contained city within a city. And there was a time when we grew up over behind Avondale Mills. For a time, I lived there with another grandmother, and things had drastically changed. The mill was still open, but you could see a difference in the houses and a difference in the people. If you ride by there today, the mill is gone, but many of the houses are still there. But I guarantee you, if you rode by there, you would shake your head in disbelief about the story I just described. How in the world could this be in such a wonderful place? I tell you, it's grown up. The houses are falling in. Brother Butler, there's drugs all in that community. That's a sad situation. But there's a lot of people that said they've been saved by the grace of God. Walking through this journey, and for some reason or another, got off the path. And you can see the decay evident in their life. They're not what they used to be. They don't stand for what they used to stand for. I'm scared we're losing a lot of things in the independent Baptist movement. We need to get back to keeping the main thing the main thing. And that's the preaching of this book. Above all else, we need God's Word. Above all else, we need the truth. And God help us in this day and hour not to put emphasis on entertainment, an emphasis on all these things that churches have resorted to, and just let the Word of God speak to men's heart. It'll make the difference. I thought about coming up here over there when the children of Israel made it to Marah. Those waters were bitter, and life, there's a lot of bitter waters in life that we have to deal with. They couldn't drink that water if it was 2 million, some commentators said it could have been 3 million people. They couldn't carry enough water to sustain them, and so they needed good water. And the welcome inside there in Mara's, they saw that water, no doubt. But they could not drink that water. It was so bitter. And God showed Moses a tree. Commentators say, now don't go to Calvary. Stay in the context. But when I read it, I know but one tree that I look to. You know what they had to do? They had to cut down a tree. That tree had to go in the water and absorb all of that bitterness to make that water sweet to drink. I'm just saying, I remember the day that I got a drink of the water that came down from Calvary. When God saved my soul, we need to keep preaching the cross and staying faithful. Amen. Boy, it's a blessing to be in a good church where the Bible's preached like Welcome Baptist Church. But I thought about these physical houses. They're decaying. You know, I've built a few houses, and people get excited when they get done. They get excited in the beginning, and they lose their excitement about 3 or 4 months in because they're tired of the process. And they're ready to get it done. Just throw it together. You don't even have to put a nail in it. Put it up. And then they finish the house, do the lock and key. It's done, the last knob. And they're like, I'm glad that's done. Oh, no, it just started. It's going to start going downhill. It's going to need a new roof. It's going to need a new paint job. You got to maintain it. You got to keep it up. You've just got started. Amen. Well, I want to tell you something. That's the same way in our spiritual life. We cannot let it go, right? We just can't let things go in our lives and in our families. What a blessing it is that the Lord gives us warning and warning after warning in the Word of God. And I want to point to some things, some indicators, some warnings concerning spiritual decay. Number one, a loss of desire. A loss of desire. I believe the thing that changed me when God saved me, I had long hair. I was going to be in a rock band. I want you to look at me. I would have never made it. Amen. But I wanted to. I was going to be in a rock band. My mom bought me electric guitar when I was 15. I was headed that route in that direction. And God saved me at 17. And I look back and you hear people talk about the great change that salvation makes. And it makes a great change. But you know what that great change was? It changed my desires. The Bible said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, he saved us. Amen. We used to live according to those fleshly desires, and we had many desires, many goals, many things we wanted to accomplish. To what God did when he saved us, he changed our desires. You know what I didn't do when I was a lost young boy? I didn't go to church. Did I want to go to church? Now that was in my teenage years. My mom made me when I was younger, and we didn't have a choice. That's the way it's supposed to be in the home. Say amen to that. But when I got away from my upbringing, got away from all that, went into rebellion, going to be a rock star, started tampering with drugs and drinking alcohol, headed down the same path of my dad, I'm telling you, God saved my soul. And when I got saved, I wanted to go right back to that place where I heard that message. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That desire to go to church. I'd have went on Wednesday night if they'd have did a knitting class. I wanted to go back. It didn't matter. I'm telling you, I wanted to go back. And I still love and come into the house of God today. Been a special place in my life. God's broke some generational curses. I'm telling you, I had a broken life and a broken family. But the grace and the hand of God has kept this family together. And my grandchildren sang tonight. My grandson helps lead singing. I've been saved Babe LaBelle Rose got saved. Not long ago, she was in the altar Sunday praying for her cousins to be saved. I didn't do that. I could have never done that. It all started at the house of God. I never forget those days when I got saved. I wanted to go back. I wanted to hear it again. I wanted to experience it again. Have you lost your desire for the house of God? Boy, you can, can't you? I thought about not only the desire for the house of God, but the desire for the Word of God. The psalmist said, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." Lord, teach me your Word. Can't get enough of the Word of God. I used to go down the road, listen to Brother C.O. Roach. And I never met him in person, but I can tell his stories and give his testimony like it was mine. And God would bless me, listen to that man of God and the Word of God, and go all the way to work and get to work. And I'm telling you, look around and everybody's mulling around, but God helped me all the way to work. Brother Roach was a great man of God, spoke to my heart. You know what he's doing? Just preaching good sound doctrine, preaching the Word of God. I tell you, when I got saved, I remember a Wednesday night, 2 weeks after I got saved, the pastor did a question night. Now, I don't advise that. People ask them. I don't know if you use this word, and I'm sorry if you don't, but people are dumb in a lot of ways spiritually. And people started asking the most odd questions. Somebody asked about dinosaurs. Somebody asked about this. And I was at all. I've just been saved, and I'm looking around thinking, wow, dinosaurs. But when I went out of there that night, I was a little bit confused. Brother, it wasn't like what it was in the first few services. I tell you what I've learned through the years, just have a man of God take a Bible and preach it to me. You don't have to sing very well. Matter of fact, at our church, we have the worst song director in the world. He stays out of tune. He doesn't do the songs right. He skips from verse to verse. Do the best I can, but I told him I didn't sign up for that. God's called me to preach, but you know what I've learned through the years? As much as I enjoy the singing, and yes, it does set a tone, and it's a wonderful way to worship and praise the Lamb of God. Nothing's ever taken the place of the Word of God. This Bible has meant so much to us in our lives as we walk through this journey, and you've walked through the journey. Thank God for the message the preacher preached earlier. I've read that psalm on many occasions, and it's blessed my heart. And so having the desire for the house of God, a desire for the Word of God. Do you remember that desire you had for our souls to be saved? I think we lose that. Paul talked about one desire that he had, and that was the salvation of Israel. It burdened his heart. He carried it with him everywhere he went. He had an opportunity to go up into Birmingham, and our church, through Brother Chuck Cummins, put together a lot of gift bags, and the chaplain called Brother Chuck, and it was a lady chaplain, and she called and said, "We want to do a service," and that's unusual, but it was a blessing. And so Brother Chuck put it all together. We did gift bags, 200 and something gift bags the church gave, and it was a hands-on for everybody in a special time, and we went up there, and they put us in. It wasn't even a chapel. It was a lunchroom, and it was very up close and personal. And I had people not far in front of me, and ladies started filling the house. And I'm sure many of them came because they wanted a gift bag. You couldn't get a gift bag if you didn't come in there. And so I'm sure many of them came to get a gift bag. And so before I know it, the whole house filled up, and Brother Chuck asked me to preach. I've never preached just to ladies, but I know they need to hear the gospel. And I'm nervous and in close quarters with everybody and feel so inadequate and insufficient and always do. And got up and preached to those ladies. And my wife will tell you this, right in front of us, a lady just wept and she wept and she wept and wept. And she came up to us right after the service and took my wife and came up to me and took me and said, "Listen, I just want to thank you for coming in here." You know what? She was said, aside from all these physical gifts, just bringing the Word of of God. That young lady was just happy to hear the Word of God. And I got excited in there seeing God work in those ladies' lives. And it reminded me again I should have a greater burden for souls because I had gotten a little bit dry, a little bit cold and indifferent. Had knocked on the doors as a recent. I don't know about you, preacher. I just hadn't done the work of God like I should have. And that again rekindled that fire and reminded me there's lost souls all around us. That could be my daughter in that prison, right? That could be your daughter or granddaughter and somebody preached the gospel to them. Our communities need a people on fire for God. A desire for souls. Amen. Somebody had a desire for me. Somebody had a desire for you. Praise God. Not only a loss of desire, number two, a loss of discipline. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary defines discipline, the light of the Christian life, as the governing of daily lives, the keeping of certain practices, habits, and principles trained in our minds from the Word of God. In other words, you're living your life within the boundaries of this book. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." And people witness that discipline and it creates a hunger and a thirst for them. But you know what I've learned? We talk about the physical house. You let a physical house on your block grow up. We bought our place across the road was an elderly lady, and she was in just a small mobile home, but it was very clean. She was very kind. She brought us pies. She went to a Southern Baptist church. She came and invited us to church, and I couldn't go to her church. Of course, I'm a pastor, but I appreciated the fact she invited us to church, and she brought us pies, and look at me. I don't know why anybody bring me pies, but and she'd bring pies, and we had a good relationship. But in time, her son's living there with her, and he's like Sanford and Son. And we get up every morning and look out. My wife said this morning, "We're going to go over there and go shopping." She wants the boat, and she wants that, and she wants that. His yard is grown up, and there's stuff scattered everywhere. You let somebody come into your neighborhood, and your house be worth a certain value. Let somebody come in and just clutter it up. Let them let things grow up. It affects every home on the block when things start decaying. It brings the value down. When we lose discipline, when we're no longer walking in the bounds of this book, it affects everybody. Be sure everybody sees how we live, and folks are watching our every move. I thought about this. A child is known by his doing. It's very refreshing to see a disciplined child. Amen? I mean, it does my heart good to see children disciplined. Now, I'm not talking about robots. Children are going to cry. Our children are going to, they're going to be kids. They're going to want to get up. You have a meeting like this. This length of time, three preachers, and go eat and another preacher afterwards. Kids get a little bit antsy and they start moving around. You don't have to pretend that your children have halos. I know better. They don't have halos. Only the grandchildren, right? I've been in some places, kids are just heathens. You know, you just want to take action. Let me have them. I will love them. But oh, it's refreshing to see a child with good manners, a refreshing to hear a child say yes, sir, and no, sir, and no, ma'am, and yes, ma'am. It's refreshing to see a child with good discipline, and I tell you, they'll be great in life when you train them up in that direction and teach them those great manners and to love people and to help people. It is so refreshing. But on the other end of that thing, I'm telling you, it's a turn off when I see a child that's out of control. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want any part of that. When people look at you and they know you go to Welcome Baptist Church, they watch your life. If you start decaying in your life, they're going to say, "I remember when they didn't go there. I remember when they wouldn't listen to that. I remember when they wouldn't do that." I want to tell you, I've seen that over the years in some folks' lives. It's been very disappointing. You want to see a young preacher dejected? I'm telling you, we had a preacher that we looked to and loved and helped us over the years. And we found out one day that preacher got in a relationship and hurt his life and his family and the other parts of family and made a mess of his life. And we walked around with our faces low and our hearts heavy because that man helped us. That was a hard time in our life. Losing that discipline. Paul in Colossians 4 and verse 14 noted Demas is a co-laborer and said, Demas greets you. In Philemon verse 24, Paul noted Demas again talked about him as a co-laborer in the ministry. In other words, when you saw Demas, you saw him in the ministry alongside Paul doing the work of God. Sad verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 when he said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That discipline that he used to live by. Somebody see him out in the marketplace and said he's hanging with people. He would have never hung with. I had a man in this community who was a preacher. He wanted to introduce me to another preacher that was in the place that we were in, and he said, this is the pastor of a church, and he introduced me to that pastor, and around the corner came his daughter, and that daughter walked up beside her dad, and I could tell the preacher that had introduced me, his head bowed, he was in shame of that preacher's daughter. The preacher's daughter was naked. She didn't have any clothes on. And when we walked away, that preacher got my hand and introduced me and said, I want to let you know, I'm sorry about that. He used to believe different than I am. You know one of the heartbreaks I've seen since we've been serving the Lord? It's good and easy to preach on everybody when your kids are little and hold a tight standard. But as your kids get older, preachers seem to want to give a little more ground and a little more rope and a little more rope. And before you know it, they're doing the very thing that they taught others not to do. Our lives matter. As we walk in this world, that loss of discipline, what a sad thing. Number three, the loss of discernment. The Bible teaches us discernment comes through the meat of the Word of God. As we grow in this book and grow in the Word of God, it begins to help us identify the good and evil. We're like the prudent man in the book of Proverbs who foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. That's good discernment. That discernment is imported along this journey. It keeps you and I alert, keeps us aware, keeps us alive to know that's a direction I can't go. We studied in the book and the Word of God says this. The Word of God forbids it, and we're not going to do it. Reality is people lose that discernment. There's a pastor friend of mine, and he had a situation where he was dealing with a pastor who he had supported in mission work. That pastor had pastored a mission, and a young lady came in, her family was in that church, and a young lady began to approach him often. Got a little too close. She was very rebellious. She was 17, 18 years of age. I don't remember. But that pastor let that family talk him into taking that young lady into his home. Against the counsel of many. And that's not a good idea. This preacher had better discernment than that. At a time in his life, he would have did better than that. What happened? He let down all of his guard and brought the young lady into his home. As you could imagine, the story doesn't end well. It destroyed his family. She's no longer with him. And he's a mess today. But he lost that discernment. He failed to see the evil and hide himself. It was fundamentally important We look in our hearts and lives and see if there's any decay. Have we lost that desire? You're on the road to decay. That church at Ephesus was doing a lot of great things, but it was out of duty. They lost their desire, that first love. You can only go so far in duty. Well, I've got to preach. I'm the pastor. I've got to lead this thing. I'm telling you, I want to get up and have a desire in my heart to preach the Word of God because I love the Word of God and the call of God in my life, not just because I'm the pastor. Amen. You lose that discipline. Have you lost that in your life? I mean, independent Baptists used to live the same here and out there, right? In every way. As one preacher said, you don't have to even get dressed to go to church. You know, that's the way it used to be. We're losing that, ain't we? People don't want to talk about that. They say, well, now you're getting out of the Bible. Is that right? Had a comment section I read one time. The preacher preaching hard. And I was listening to the message. Don't ever read comments. Young lady said, he lost me. He was talking about dress. God never said nothing about dress. I said, my, she don't read the Bible. That's them gospel-centered churches. Well, if Jesus never said it, then I don't believe it. That's what they call themselves, gospel-centered. You what, Brother Jeff? He wrote the whole book from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. That's a cop-out. That's a crutch. That's a compromise. Amen. They said something about it. Watching families today, and we've turned into technical nuts. And children are turning away from the truth. They're finding things online, little children with cell phones. I never figure that out. If you have a little child in here, you buy them a cell phone, I'm just going to tell you you're crazy. You lost your mind. So you shouldn't say that. I said it. It's foolish. These kids can't handle technology. I've got nieces and friends who's involved in cases right now where school teachers were sending messages. These children can't handle that. Let them grow up and be children. Let them play with baby dolls. Let them run up and down the yard. Let them throw pine cones. Let the little boys play cowboys in India. Let them be kids, sure, but don't turn them over to the world. Amen. They decay. It destroys them. People hooked in that stuff and pornography and everything else. We've got a disease in our country. People can't handle it. And we wonder how it got in the days of Noah where every thought and imagine of his heart was evil continually. Boy, that's easy today, ain't it? You put it down. Well, I'm a rambler now, I know. But it's caused a lot of decay. If you take a Bible out of most children's hand, they might say a word or two, but most of the time you'll get away with it. You take a cell phone out of their hand, you're liable to end up down at the DHR somewhere. Y'all know it's true. It is destroying our society. Amen. We need the discipline, need that desire. Boy, we need that discernment, don't we?
Amen.
To be able to see things for what they are. And we've been running around for years, and our government's been telling us, oh, it's not what you see. You don't really see that. You don't really hear that. Foot, that's what grandma's saying. Foot, we saw what we saw and heard what we heard. We know what they were doing. We know they're crooked. We know they put it on. I want to go ahead and say this. I'm glad Trump got in office. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, vote right. Right starts with the law. Yes. I made it up, okay? I don't mind making it up. And appreciate a vice president that went over there and told the European countries, we're not aligned like you think we are. We believe in democracy. Somebody finally represent us. That's something real, amen. Thank God for that. All right, preacher, you go ahead. I'm sorry. I am rambling, I know.
we can hurry around here. Thank you. Boy,